On February 9th, 1964, just 2.5 years ago, the British invasion began. That was the night the Beatles appeared for the first time on the Ed Sullivan Show. I had tonsillitis. My tonsils were causing me a lot of trouble that winter, and Dr. Cooper was considering taking them out, an idea I did not like at all. Getting your tonsils out meant going into the hospital and staying at least one night. It meant having ether, a sickeningly sweet-smelling drug that put you to sleep. This I knew from Rosemary Martindale, who had her tonsils out in second grade. They put a mask over your nose and mouth, and the ether starts pouring out, and they tell you to count backward from 100, and all you want to do is scream and rip that mask off, but you can't because of the ether. She explained to the whole class when she came back to school 2 weeks later. Then you wake up with the worst sore throat you've ever had because they've cut out your tonsils. I ask you, who would want to do this? My neighbor, Teresa Mazzoni, who went to Catholic school, came over that February afternoon. I was lying on the couch, eating grape popsicles and worrying about ether. Do you know what tonight is? Teresa asked me.
Sunday?
I croaked, because my throat was too sore for me to talk normally. She rolled her eyes. Not just any Sunday, Trudy, she said. Tonight, the Beatles are going to be on the Ed Sullivan Show, and your life is going to change forever. She paused. Everyone in America's life is going to change forever, she added. I didn't like how Teresa always knew more than I did. How did she find out this stuff? She was just a kid, like me, but somehow she knew things I didn't know. One day, she said to me, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And I said, what? And she said it again, faster and all smug. I didn't know what she was talking about, but I understood it was important and that in no time, everyone else would be saying supercalifragilisticexpialidocious too. And if I knew what was good for me, I'd learn how to say it too. So I asked her,
what are the Beatles?
Not what, Trudy, who? Teresa flopped on the chair across from me and raised 4 fingers. John, Paul, George, and Ringo, she said, counting each one off. They're from England. Liverpool, she said dreamily. I like John best, she added. I repeated the names in my head. John, Paul, George.
Ringo?
I asked. Teresa grinned, because he wears lots and lots of rings. He's the drummer. Ah, so they were a musical group. Since it was Sunday, I knew that the Beatles were going to be on the Ed Sullivan Show, because that's where musical groups appeared on Sunday nights. I'll come over and watch with you if you want, Teresa said. I did. My parents were skeptical. The Beatles? Mom said, scrunching her face the way she did when something tasted bad. Why the Beatles?
They're in today's New York Times, Dad said, and he laid the newspaper out on the kitchen table.
Mom and I looked at the picture Dad was pointing to. In the background was a Pan Am plane, and in front of it were 4 boys with shaggy hair. The Beatles. The caption said that 3,000 fans waiting for them to arrive nearly caused a riot when they stepped off the plane and onto American soil.
They need haircuts, Mom said, scrunching her face even more.
Without even hearing one note of a Beatles song, I, like every girl in America, was already 100% smitten by them. By the time Teresa showed up to watch the Ed Sullivan Show that night, Dad had read me the entire New York Times article, and we'd listened to WPRO radio until I Wanna Hold Your Hand came on, which was almost right away because the song was already number one. In fact, the DJ dedicated 15 whole minutes just to Beatles songs, playing She Loves You, I Saw Her Standing There, and All My Loving without interruption. Dad was tapping his fingers on the table in time to the music.
Oh, Trudy. He said, these guys are good. It's not very melodic, is it? Mom said. Mom liked Frank Sinatra. Dad's eyes met mine, and it was like he looked at me for the first time ever. No, like he saw me for the first time ever. We smiled at each other. Two Beatles fans. Dad nodded, as if to say that we were in this together. I felt so happy I almost forgot my sore throat. I like Paul best, I announced when Teresa showed up.
So do I, Dad told her.
He scooped ice cream into bowls for us and set up the TV trays. Usually Mom did this stuff, but she wasn't a Beatles fan. She didn't understand. Ed Sullivan announced,
"Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!"
And the girls in the audience screamed and cried. Teresa screamed too. I couldn't, of course, because of my tonsils. But it didn't even matter, because there were the Beatles on the stage singing, and all I really wanted to do was sit there and watch them. I wanted them to never stop singing because somehow, Teresa was right. The Beatles had arrived, and everything changed. Later, after the show was over and Teresa went home, Dad came and sat beside me on my bed.
Last November, we all lost hope, Trudy, he said softly.
I knew what he meant. The November before, on November 22nd, to be exact, Lee Harvey Oswald had shot and killed President Kennedy, and the whole country went into mourning. Our principal, Mrs. Abbott, ran into our classroom sobbing and said, "Our beloved president has been shot!" And she told us all to go home. When I got home, my mother and Mrs. Mazzoni and all the other mothers from the neighborhood, except Mrs. Blaze because she worked as a nurse in the ER, were sitting in front of the TV crying. That's how I knew for sure it was true. Dad took my hand.
"But the Beatles are bringing joy back into our hearts," he said, and he squeezed my hand.
"I love you."
"Yeah, yeah, yeah,"
he whispered, and kissed me on the forehead.
"I love you too, Dad,"
I whispered back. I closed my eyes, and the song played over and over in my mind, like a lullaby putting me to sleep. The day I went back to school after my tonsils were healed, I stood up in class and announced the formation of the Beatles Fan Club. "The first meeting is today, right after school," I said. "The sign-up sheet will be outside the office." By lunchtime, 14 kids had signed up. And I, Trudy Mixer, became the most popular girl at Robert E. Quinn Elementary.